Good morning. We have 47 devices tuning in right now. We welcome those who are worshiping remotely with us from Texas, Wisconsin, Tennessee. And so glad that you are with us this morning and everyone here at the building that is with us. There was a study done of over 8,000 people employed in businesses and hospitals and universities, military, government agencies. And they found that virtually all of the respondents believed that they themselves communicated as effectively or more effectively than all their coworkers. Think about that for a minute. Virtually all of these 8,000, a very, very high number of the 8,000 claimed and felt like they themselves communicated was effective in listening at the average or above average of all their coworkers. However, research shows that the average person listens at only about 25% efficiency. The average person, most of us, listen at about 25% efficiency. And most people agree that listening effectively is a very important skill. So you have most people that don't do it very well. They think they do it well, and they think it's important. And that's what we're talking about today. And I would add on to that, most people don't work on listening. They never work on it. In fact, when's the last time that someone pointed out to you, you really didn't listen there? And I want to exclude, let's set aside for a moment, spouses. So, let's just set that aside, to the wives, let me tell you, if your husband's watching TV and you say something to him and then you soon realize he wasn't listening, you can't really blame him, because you've known for a long time he cannot do two things at once. That's a female that you're thinking of, and you know better. So, but anyway, aside from your spouse telling you you didn't listen, let's set that to the side. When is the last time someone that you're not married to has told you you didn't really listen there? And what I'm saying is, most of us go about not being great listeners. We might think we are, and no one really tells us that we're not. I remember early in our marriage, early in my marriage, I would have said I was a good listener. I thought I was. And many of our big arguments early on in our marriage was because I didn't listen. And I claimed, and I felt like, well, she talks too much. and even made the foolish mistake of verbalizing that a time or two. And what I now know that I didn't know then is the problem wasn't that she talked too much. The problem was I didn't understand relationship. Because in a I could feel her head nodding from all the way up here. But in a relationship, when you care about someone, you care about what they want to tell you. Write that one down. Study that one. But let's go to James 1:19, a great passage about listening. And verses 19 and 20 say, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Quick to hear. In a marriage relationship, I cannot overemphasize the importance of being a better listener. Quick to hear. There's so many arguments that I've had that I was quick to respond. When couples get to arguing, it's not very long before they're talking over each other. We're interrupting each other. Do you like it when someone interrupts you? I don't, but I also don't like it when they're saying dumb things. And if they would just listen to me, then we could clear all this up. But that's not how an argument is solved. An argument is solved when we listen. And one of the greatest things a young husband or wife can do is practice being a better listener. If you're in an argument, oftentimes our voices raise. We get to where next thing you know, we're yelling. We're yelling in an argument. Why do we yell? It's not because the other person can't hear. They're hearing you, but they're not listening. And we yell. If you have conflict in your life sometimes, and you know that you yell in an argument, the reason you're doing that is you don't think the other person's hearing you. You don't think they're hearing you. Guess what the solution to that is? It's not yelling, or we'd be solving all kinds of problems with yelling. That doesn't solve it. What solves it is start listening. When you listen to the other person, and one of the greatest things you can do when someone's trying to tell you something and you're having a hard time with it is repeat back to them what they're saying to you in a good way. Say, okay, what I hear you saying is this. And when they say that, when they say yes, you'll notice they will calm down a little bit. And guess what? Now they're ready to hear what you have to say. But it's amazing how difficult it is to listen to people. And contrast that with this verse. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That one's tough. And this applies to social media as well. I mean, all ways that we communicate, all different ways. When I'm frustrated with someone and I'm having a disagreement, I feel like this could all be solved if they would just listen to the wisdom that's in my brain. I just want to tell them, and they don't want to hear it. And sometimes I want to interrupt them. Oftentimes, I've not been a great listener to my children because we're having a disagreement, and I feel like I understand the solution here, and they don't, and they want to tell me what they think. And parents would be better off to listen a little longer and then be the parent and work with your child. There's a time to talk and there's a time to listen. And it's difficult sometimes, but this verse is humbling, isn't it? Because if you take out that first part and say, you know, pleasure in expressing your opinion, that fits a lot of people. Do you like to tell people what you think, what your opinion is? Let's talk about politics for a second here. We'll go around the room. You tell me what you think about some political situation going on. Let's see if anyone, we would all talk if we were, you know, not come up front and talk. I'm just saying in a room, what do you think about what's going on? Fill in the blank. We all have an opinion. But Scripture tells us we would be a lot more wise if we would slow down and listen. And so many times in my arguments, in my marriage, I didn't listen good because I just felt like she just needs to hear the wisdom that's in my brain. And that's all I was focused on. So, but even in scenarios where you're not in an argument, sometimes someone has something important they're trying to tell you, and unless you listen well, you will miss it. It could be someone here at church that today after we're dismissed and you're you know, just visiting briefly with someone before you leave, they may say something, they may tip their hand, they may let you in on a little insight of what's going on with them. They may give you some little subtle cue that they're not doing real well. Sometimes they'll verbalize it very subtly, and unless you're really listening, you'll miss it. Sometimes they may be, when a person's trying to share with you some vulnerability of theirs, some maybe it's fear that they have, maybe it's hurt feelings or embarrassment, it's hard to hear that unless you're really paying attention and listening, because they won't come out with a billboard of flashing lights and tell you. They'll slide it in quietly into what they're saying. And it's so meaningful if we will slow down and hear what people are saying. Let's look at our scripture reading this morning, 1 Corinthians 13. This is a chapter, and a good part of it is about love and what love is. So normally I read this thinking about love in general, but let's read this and think about the act of listening and how this would apply. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. And to be a good listener, you have to be patient. You have to care about what they're saying. Meanwhile, you've got something running in your head that you're ready to throw out there, but you have to care about what they're trying to tell you. You have to be patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. If you're around an arrogant person, or if you are an arrogant person, you like to talk too much. It's what arrogance does. Arrogance overvalues your own thoughts and opinions. And an arrogant person is a little hard to be around because they just want to boast. That's not loving. Love is not rude, meaning it doesn't interrupt, it doesn't yell. Because to interrupt and yell is to try to force on you what I'm trying to say. That's not loving. It does not insist on its own way. How many arguments are because I'm trying to insist on my way? We can't both have our way here. Verse 5, reading on, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. When we read the last part of this, verse 7, love bears all things. It means, part of what that means is love carries the load that's left from people's shortcomings and their failures. When you're bearing, you know, when you're bearing someone's load, it may be some shortcoming of theirs. You're frustrated about it. You're trying to tell them about it. And part of bearing that is being patient with them, being a better listener. Love believes all things, meaning it believes the best about people as long as you can, as long as it is possibly true that something is good about people. We tend to believe bad about people. When people act up, we tend to not only see what they did wrong, but we conceptualize why they did it wrong. Why did that person pull out in front of me? Obviously, they're a jerk. That's why. Don't we do that? But love believes all things, meaning as much as we can, believing good things about people. Sometimes someone pulls out in front of you because they didn't see you. Did not see you. You ever done that? You ever pulled out in front of someone? You did not see them until their car was real big in your rearview mirror, and you thought, how did I do that? I did not even mean to do that. Number 3, love hopes all things, meaning when love cannot believe the best about someone because it's clearly not true, love can still hope the best about someone. Sometimes someone needs to change. They need to repent. They need to do better and be better, and love hopes for that. And then finally, sometimes love just endures. It just endures. It just keeps showing love. Keep being a good listener. My father is someone I would call a champion listener. And incidentally, today, he's in the 80-year-old club. Today is his 80th birthday. So you 80-year-olds, welcome him. But birthday boy today. But Dad, you know, when I go back to Shakota, where we grew up, where Dad preached for 35 years, when we go back there, the church family in Shakota loves him and Mom. They just love our family, but they love Dad so much. Now, and it's not just because of his service as their, you know, when he preached or when he taught class, but a lot of it is because he listened to them. He's heard all their heartaches. He's heard all their struggles. He's heard all their trials. He sat down or stood up and just listened. And he cared. And you'll be amazed at how endearing that is. How powerful it is to be a good listener. Well, let's go to Psalm 5:3 and talk about God for a minute. God is the ultimate listener. A great psalm, verse 3 says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. When you pray to God, do you ever think, God, if you're listening, by the way, don't try to put more faith. If you're struggling in your faith, that's one thing. But my question is, do you ever wonder if God is hearing you? If you do, The answer is he's hearing you. The Bible says a bird doesn't fall to the ground, a sparrow does not fall to the ground, but which God knows it. If God knows every sparrow that falls, he knows what his prized creation is trying to express to him. When we talk to God, he's always listening. He's not distracted. Isn't that something? He's never distracted. If you want to talk to someone who's just going to listen to every word you say and care, there's no one that does it like God. There's no one that fully understands like God. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I love that. God is always, he always has time for us. Amen. Question is, let's talk a little bit about listening to God. Do we listen to God? We're so privileged to be in a time and age when we can listen. You can listen to God through a written Bible. You can listen to God through a, you can have your phone. You can download a Bible app. If you need help with that, please come talk to me. Talk to your grandchild. Talk to one of these little kids running around. No joke. Jokes aside, we will help you. But you can download on a smartphone a Bible app that will read the Bible to you. And you can do that while you're driving, while you're sitting, you can do it while you're doing something else, or you can just sit down and listen, undivided. But either way, it's valuable. The question is, why don't we listen to God more? Why don't we listen to him more? Well, maybe, it's kind of hard to understand the Bible. When I read my Bible or when I listen to it, maybe you're reading out of a translation that's more difficult, and there are newer and more easier to read translations that could help. But you may say, well, I don't understand everything. What it's talking about, I'm confused. I don't understand it all. Do you ever get lost in a movie, watching a movie? When I watch movies that are quick-paced and they're kind of complex and they are mystery in nature, which is not necessarily my thing, but when I watch movies like that, sometimes early on they're hitting names and they're talking about so-and-so and this character's talking about that character. I forget, who is that? I don't even know who that is. And then they're doing this and they're talking about that. I'm lost. But I don't turn it off. I keep watching. Why? Because I still get value out of what I'm watching. I can still understand a lot of it, and I still enjoy a lot of it. And when you read your Bible and you don't understand parts of it, I can relate, because as a young preacher, I would read commentaries. We have some preachers in the audience, and some of you have read commentaries. Newer ones are much better, but commentaries are just what a Bible scholar had written down about each verse to help explain what's going on. And the older commentaries were written on a level, on a scholarly level, far above me. And I have a Bible degree, but that wasn't enough, okay? I mean, they're written, some of these older ones, on a level where I felt like I'm reading Latin. I don't know Latin. And so what I would do is I would understand, when I first started, I might understand about 20% of what I'm reading. But the 20% helped me, and I would keep reading. Next thing you know, I progress, and maybe about half of what I'm reading, I get it. I see what you're saying. That helped me. Thank you. And now I can understand probably 80 or 90% of some of those really challenging commentaries. The answer is not to quit listening to God. The answer is to keep listening to God. Keep reading your Bible. Keep having it play to you. Keep getting it in your mind. I'm not talking about when we gather here. I'm talking about daily. Just read a verse. Turn to Psalms and just read a verse. You might say, I don't have the time. We definitely have the time. You might say, I don't know. I can't focus. Read one verse. Read one chapter. We need to listen to God more. I want us to read a passage here in Deuteronomy. Do you remember when Jesus, let me set this up. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, Satan came, he fasted 40 days, and then Satan came to him, and one of the temptations was, because Jesus hadn't eaten, Jesus is very, very hungry. Satan says, why don't you turn one of these stones to bread and eat? Do you remember what Jesus said? He replied, he said, God says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. And when Jesus said that to Satan, he was quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And in Deuteronomy, this passage about this statement, man does not live by bread alone, what was that statement about? The statement was about the Israelites eating manna. And in this passage, in Deuteronomy 8, 3, Moses is reminding the Israelites what God has done. And he says, hey, do you remember when he fed you with manna? And Moses is going to tell them why God did that. So if I were to ask us, why did God feed the Israelites with manna? You would probably say, because they were hungry. They were hungry. And they were complaining, we don't have food to eat. And God provided manna. But look at what Moses says in Deuteronomy 8:3. He humbled you and let you hunger. Let you hunger. He didn't feed them because they were hungry. He made them hungry. But look at why he did it. He let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know. God fed them with manna because he was trying to teach them something. He didn't feed them because they were hungry. He was trying to tell them something. Were they listening? He says that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You've heard the phrase, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. This is the opposite of that. If God had said, you're hungry, you know, here's how you eat. You start slaughtering some animals and cooking them, or you pick some berries, or if God had showed them how to find food for themselves, then from then on, they would think they could take care of themselves. God is trying to tell them, you can't do anything for yourself. You're not alive because of you. You're not alive because you ate. So you and I in this room, you'll go home today and you will eat food that you bought, that you paid for, that you earned the money to pay for, correct? But you're not alive because you found a job and worked a job and made money and exchanged money for food. That's not why you're alive. You're alive because God sustained you with every breath you take. Amen. Every breath. You're alive because God keeps you alive. And when your time is determined to be up, you will no longer be alive because God's in charge. That's what the manna was about. And when Jesus quoted that, man doesn't live by bread alone, Jesus is quoting a statement that's about how God provides for us. He's in charge. We live, every breath we take is because of his sovereign will. Am I relying on God? Am I listening to God? I could say this morning, did you hear what President Biden said this past week? I could start a statement, I could say, or a question, I could say, did you hear about what President Putin said this past week? Or did you hear what Governor Stitt said? Or did you hear about, fill in the blank, someone you know, just a friend of yours, maybe someone in our congregation here, did you hear what Rick Odell said this past week? Let me tell you something. Well, I'll tell you exactly what Rick said, word for word. You ready? You know? Yeah, I'm ready. What did he say? That sounds interesting. I don't even know the context. None of that matters. It matters what God says. It matters what God Almighty says. And God has said it, and we have it. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to God? That matters. I encourage to bring this to a close. Scripture says the two greatest commandments are to love God, love your neighbor. Are we listening to God? And are we listening to our neighbor? When you love someone, you care about what they're trying to tell you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Create in me a clean heart. And if you have a struggle this morning, something that's heavy on your heart. Maybe it's a relationship in your life you'd like prayers for. Maybe you'd like to give your life to God today. Surrender it. Have your sins washed away in baptism. Maybe there's a prayer that we could pray for you. If there's a way we could help you, please come while we stand and sing.
Create in me a clean.